So, what an amazing church this is. I feel blessed to come here. I don't come here very often. My name's Nick Hull. I'm church warden over at St. Margaret's. And basically, I come here, as I say, rarely. But when I do, I think, wow, this is incredible. And sometimes I think we forget the history of this amazing church. Queen Anne Church, designed by Hawksmoor, the only one in the City of London. An amazing church. And worship has taken place on this site for over 2,000 years, which is just awesome when you think about it. And sometimes I think perhaps we don't stop and think about these things enough. John Newton was the rector here. There's a plaque on the wall to him over there between 1780 and 1807. T.S. Eliot, in a famous poem called The Wasteland, wrote about this church. And over in the corner, you'll see a little excerpt from that poem. So I do encourage you, if you've not done this, and some of you will know this church much better than me, to have a walk around. William Wilberforce worshipped here. How awesome is that? William Wilberforce worshipped here every week. I like William Wilberforce. Not only did he manage to be instrumental in the abolition of slavery, but he also said, gentlemen should not drink more than 6 large glasses of red wine a day. He's my sort of man. Now, there's a new Doctor Who, a lady, fantastic. How times are changing, this is brilliant. And I really like the thought of being able to be a time traveller. I mean, we're talking about how things used to be in that church, in this church. Wouldn't it be amazing to be able to sit amongst the congregation as John Newton preached? As long as you've got 5 or 6 hours to spare, I'm sure it would be amazing. You've got me for 5 or 6 minutes. Now, I know that you've been looking at Mark, but I've got a change for you today. So we're going to have a look at Psalm 119, verses 25 to 32, which you will find on page 590 of the Pew Bibles. So as Jeremy would say, can I read to you? I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I gave an account of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I've chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Now, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the Bible. So we're only doing a small part of it. You'll notice that it is headed Daleth. That's the fourth letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And each of these sections are numbered by letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, this passage is a real series of highs and lows. You've only got to look at the first sentence. But before I go there, let's go back to time travelling just for a minute. Some people make a living predicting the future. People go to spiritualists or fortune tellers. They read horoscopes. Although Jeremiah chapter 27 verse 9 warns against listening to them. Now, the only one that holds the past, the present and the future in his hands is our God Almighty. The only one that knows the future. Much of it is hidden from us, but not all of it. However, there are certain things about our future that God tells us. And the study of history helps us to predict the future. And in fact, Winston Churchill said famously, in order to understand the future, we need to understand the past. Now, I absolutely love the Psalms. Jeremy said, Nick, you can preach on whatever you like. And actually, I found that quite difficult. I'd much rather somebody said it's Luke so-and-so, and then I'd go and prepare for it. But I've chosen this because I just love the Psalms. I find that there is so much honesty in the Psalms. People just record what's happening to them, as if they were just writing their day's news. There's so much bad news in the world today, it's very easy for all of us to get depressed. But let's just look at this poor chap for a second. Verse 25 literally says, I'm feeling terrible. In fact, I couldn't feel any worse. But when you're down and on the ground, there isn't anywhere else to look but up. So he looks up from the dust, trusting in God as his only hope. He was completely discouraged, utterly discouraged. He'd sunk to the ground under this huge weight, this huge burden of his troubles. He was in a spiritual recession, for want of a better word, for want of a better phrase. But by verse 32, he's already beginning to feel uplifted and says, I will run the course you lay out for me if you show me how. That is exactly the translation of verse 32 in the Message Bible. The psalmist realized that God's word was the answer to the believer's every need. Now, I'll talk to you about another of my favourite things. Has any of you seen the episode of Thomas the Tank Engine when he comes off the tracks? Obviously, I only watch this with my grandchildren. And basically, Thomas comes off the tracks and he's lying there on his side and he says, freedom at last. But when we come off the tracks, we end up in the dust, just like in this psalm. For us to experience true freedom, it's clearer to me than ever, that our one hope must be before the throne of God. That is our one hope. Our hope must be built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness.